It might be amusing to share some of my adventures while living and working in the art world. I'll need to avoid using places, names, and any identifying features in order to prevent any potential retribution. Please forgive the lack of details, which I concede would have made these stories much juicier. Sadly, the best stories are always the ones you cannot share.
Walk on pins and needles. What they can do. Walk on gilded splinters with the cane of the Zulu. Dang, I'm gonna come. Walk on gilded splinters.
I was working at a museum with a young filmmaker who invited myself and all their artist friends to be in a gallery show which would work as a benefit for their latest film project. Each work of art would be on sale for $100, of which 50 would go to the artist and 50 to the filmmaker. The art gallery was called William Something and was owned by a close friend of the filmmaker. It was a gallery I knew and so was excited to be involved in the project. The opening was well attended. People gathered around the artworks, holding cups of cheap white wine, chatting loudly, their voices echoing in the space. Amidst all the social activity, a gallery attendant approached me and said that there was an offer on my painting, but at half the price. I said, "Who would offer only half at a benefit?" The attendant smiled and left. About 15 minutes later, I was speaking with someone when a man came over and stood next to me, obviously wanting to speak. We shook hands and he introduced himself as Bill. Then he stopped speaking and sort of stood there with a light smile while staring at me. I was happy to speak with this guy, but was confused by his silence. So, I asked what I could do for him. This question made him jump as if I'd thrown cold water on him. He looked surprised, apologized, and trotted off into the crowd. The whole thing had been so strange and awkward. It was only later that I found out that Bill was William, the owner of the gallery. He was also the guy offering to buy my painting at half the price during his own friend's benefit. This caused me even greater confusion, but also, later, on the way home, I got mad at myself. I'd had the opportunity to make friends with a gallery owner and had blown it. The next day I wrote him an email apologizing for the whole thing. He wrote me a nice note back, but did not offer to discuss my artwork any further. This was one of my earliest experiences of dealing with the art world. I'm not sure what I learned from this, except that nothing would be clear or easy or make much sense. Which was all too true.
I was working for an artist. This artist was building a brand new studio for themselves and needed help sourcing materials, building things, and keeping track of logistics with vendors. The artist and I drove around 5 days a week doing ridiculous things that achieved nothing. One example of this is when we went to a giant box store for tools and many other needed items. We looked at drill guns for a long time. I made recommendations based on my experience, but the artist didn't like any of them because they weren't cute enough. I played it off as though it were a joke, but the artist was serious. No ugly drill guns would be allowed in their studio. We would walk around this huge store filling grocery carts full of things we would need to build the studio and keep it running. Eventually, the artist would announce that they didn't want any of the things in the carts, and then the artist would hastily run out of the store while I pushed the overloaded carts into empty aisles and then join them in their car. We visited this store at least twice, maybe more, doing the same thing every time. While I worked for the artist, we never managed to buy anything we needed. The artist didn't want to pay me what I asked for. It wasn't much, but it was the industry standard. The artist said they felt bad but just couldn't afford to pay me that wage. The first few days we would go out to lunch and the artist would pay for both of us. I always made it clear that I was thankful. After a few days of this, the artist grew slightly angry and said they couldn't always buy my lunch. I said that I understood and didn't expect it. The whole thing was awkward. All of this would be okay except for the fact that nearly every day the artist would tell me they were having a crisis with their accountant. It seems the accountant was begging the artist to spend more money for tax write-offs. The artist thought it was very funny that they were being told to spend more money and didn't know where they would do it. Listening to this, I always grew angry since paying me what I had asked for was clearly not a problem. All of this was aggravating, but worse was that the artist's partner is a powerful person in the New York art world. The whole art world runs on networking. You have to keep your name at the forefront of the minds of people who have influence. Working for this artist had seemed like a good opportunity to make excellent connections. The artist had already offered to send their partner to my studio. I was excited by this notion. But it would seem things weren't going well in their relationship. The artist had various issues, and somehow the artist's partner lumped me in with all of them and basically began actively hating me. Instead of making connections, I made a powerful enemy. So that blew up in my face pretty spectacularly.
An assassin's association since the munchies, the suckers, exsanguinate the suture. As it is censored and suppressed inside Asia, outside Prussia, this process has success.
I was working at a gallery. The owner of the gallery was in the habit of putting pressure on whichever artist was currently having a show to give them a free piece of art as a gift. The artists usually had just put all their most recent artworks in the show we'd just installed, usually during a grueling 3-day blitz that left us all sleepless and burnt out. So, prior to their departure, the artists would have to spend a few hours frantically making something in the back room. This led to some interesting moments. On one such occasion, I was cleaning out the backspace, which had become cluttered during the installation of the show. I had found a lot of materials that looked like trash and had heaped them on a table. One odd item stood out because it looked something like one of the artworks by the artist whose show had just opened the night before. The object didn't look finished, as though it were half of an idea. I was about to ask a co-worker about it when the artist entered the room saying the owner wanted a free piece of art. The artist was desperate. When the artist saw the weird unfinished object on the table, they grew excited. "This is perfect," they said. The artist signed and added a title to the object, then jogged out of the room to hand the gift to the owner. After the artist left the room, my coworker looked at me with something like fear on their face. They said, "I made that as a test just to see if the materials worked together." We laughed. Just then the owner entered the room and asked us to wrap the new piece of art in something protective and store it in the personal storage area. Which I did.
I was working at a gallery. One day, at about 1 PM, a well-known curator entered the gallery, walked to the back room where I was working and grabbed me by the arm. The well-known curator invited me to go to lunch with them. They were clearly very drunk. We walked into the main show space with the curator pulling on my arm saying, "Come on, you can take a little break, have an extra long lunch, hang out with me." The gallery owner appeared and took in the scene. A young artist, me, just trying to do their job and not upset the drunken, sexually aggressive, but very well-known curator by turning down their invitation. One must always be building connections if they want a future in the art world. The well-known curator pulled at my arm, slowly bringing us closer to the door. I was much larger than the well-known curator, I was younger and in much better shape. As we neared the door, I began considering putting up a greater physical resistance. The gallery owner tried to intervene. The owner also had to be sure to not upset the well-known curator. Other co-workers joined in, with up to 4 people trying to gently pry the hands of the well-known curator off of my body while saying nice things and letting them know that I was far too busy to take a long lunch. It took a long time, but eventually the well-known curator let go of me and went off to one of the other art spaces in the area to no doubt hassle someone else, who would then have to ask themselves just how bad did they want to make it in the art world.
Take Americans. Take it or leave it each time. Well, I belong to the generation, but I can take it or leave it each time.
I was working in a well-known gallery. There was going to be a group show, and a lot of artists were all busy installing artworks in the space. I was there to assist an artist put together a very complicated sculpture. Many of the other artists were young up-and-comers, and I was glad to be able to have a chance to meet them. I looked forward to the lunch break, where people would have more time for conversation. The gallery was owned by an infamous person who had been around for a long time and had a reputation for being tough, amongst other things. The owner had been in to check on the installation and chatted amiably enough with us and the other teams, but I had a bad feeling about this person. So did the artist I was working with. We made comic gestures to keep our spirits up. At lunchtime, it was announced that the gallery owner was buying lunch for everyone working on the show. An intern brought us a menu, and our orders were placed. When the food arrived, the interns laid everything out on the large conference table in the glass-walled library/conference room. The interns had added bags of chips and various drinks, and we were all more than ready to eat. The hungry artists descended on the conference room like a herd of beasts ready to destroy everything in their path. But just then, the gallery owner stepped into the room with a phone clutched to the side of their head and shut the door. The herd of artists stopped outside the glass wall and stared in as the owner leaned against a bank of windows and looked at the sidewalk below, while casually speaking into the phone. The artists looked to the pack of gallery directors who sat just outside the conference room. The directors all suddenly got busy doing something, anything to avoid eye contact with all of the artists who'd been so warmly greeted just hours earlier. The interns simply fled. Inside the room, the gallery owner languidly twirled loose hair on their head as they continued their conversation. The hungry up-and-coming artists all went outside to smoke cigarettes and shake their heads. The artist I was working with said, "This is bad. I ordered soup." After about 45 minutes, we were told the room was ready for us. The food was all cold. Some got reheated, but some was thrown out. But those who ate did so while working on the show, because time was running out to finish the project. Later, a kindly intern I was speaking with was getting me a glass for water, and they accidentally bumped and broke a wine glass, which had been on the same shelf as the water glasses. The intern turned ghostly white and began shaking slightly. I was at a loss, as I didn't understand how a broken glass could elicit such a wild and fearful response. Just then, one of the directors took pity on the intern. They came over and whispered in a conspiratorial manner that it was okay. They would simply lie to the gallery owner about what happened to the wine glass. The intern looked as though their execution had been called off with mere seconds left to go. I sometimes wonder who that intern was and if they went on to open their own gallery. And if so, how do they treat their employees? We'll be right back.
was working in the private home of one of the wealthiest families in the city. Their names adorn many buildings and much more throughout the region. We were on a large staircase installing photos when the grand matriarch of the family, wearing extremely well-tailored finery, nearly fell down the stairs. If it wasn't for the quick actions of one of my co-workers, who caught her as she slipped, she would certainly had a terrible fall. That was one crisis averted, but then I had to find the interior decorator who we were working with to ask about some detail or other. When I approached the room he was working in, I heard a raised voice. It was one of the homeowners who was very unhappy with the decorator. The voice crackled with intensity as it said, "Get it done or you will never work in this town again." I had never heard anyone say that before. I felt like I was in a bad movie. After the homeowner left the room, I went in and found the young decorator looking out the high window of the mansion. "I've been thinking about moving back to Iowa," the decorator said after a long pause. Later, my crew and I were working in the living room. We brought in a clean packing blanket in which to place all of our installation tools in order to protect the carpet. The blanket lay in the middle of the floor, where all three of us could reach it with ease. At a point where all three of us were busy installing individual artworks, the Grand Matriarch reappeared. She was a short person, in very small spectacles, and had been friendly with us throughout the day. She entered the room speaking, but it was unclear who she was speaking to. She marched across the room gesticulating as she spoke and walked straight into the center of our tool blanket, wherein she tangled her feet in a coiled extension cord and began falling. Again. I saw the co-worker who was closest to her go through a quick debate between catching her or holding on to the presumably very expensive artwork he was holding in his hands. He dropped the painting and jumped forward with both arms out and was able to catch the falling matriarch. He set her on her feet and she walked on, never acknowledging any of the facts of the fall, nor did she stop speaking, even as she almost tumbled onto her face. We just watched her go, shrugged and went back to work. I imagined that she had always had someone there to catch her. After that, the homeowner bought us lunch and served us themselves. It was a very nice gesture, which was appreciated. Maybe that's the treatment you get for catching matriarchs, I don't know. But it is worth noting that the decorator wasn't there. And I never saw them again.
1, 2, 3, now!
I was working for a trucking company. I arrived at work dressed like a raggedy-ass artist in cut-off camouflage shorts and tall Doc Marten boots, which were a lovely oxblood. I was in some sort of shirt, which I had written a message on that I can no longer recall. In short, I looked rough. It was then that I was told I would be going to work at former President Nixon's funeral being held within a few hours. I looked to my partner for the day. They said, "The eyes of the world will be upon us." And they were right. Within a few hours, we came into contact with politicians, famous ministers, diplomats, one full-blown Marine marching band, and more Taco Bell burritos than you can imagine. But this is a story that I need to keep for another day.